What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Current Era Pod. I'm your host, Julian, and today we have reviews for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes from Mondi, and so much more. It's going to be a great episode. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, stop doing that. Go to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/thecurrentera podcast. Helps me out more. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment on those videos. Anyway, thank you so much. Let's get straight to the episode. Mondi,
hey,
what's up, man? News, reviews, updates, titties, tidbits, factoids, all that good shit. Let's do it. We got a lot of things to discuss.
Great. All right, let's get into some trailers first and foremost. Only two today. We have a show trailer and we have a movie trailer. The trailer for the Boys season 4 has been released. It's coming June 13th on Prime Video. I have opted out not to watch this trailer just because. For shows I really love and movies I really love, nigga, I just want to go into it as blind as possible. So, guys, if you are fans of The Boys, go watch it online if you want. But me, I want to go into this new season. I'm so excited for it. I cannot wait. So I don't want to know anything. So, yeah. And Julian doesn't watch The Boys. But we have some Boys-related news. Gen V, which, as we know, the actor Chance Perdomo passed recently. They will not recast his character Andre in season 2. The quote is, instead, we have been taking the time and space to recraft our season 2 storylines as we begin production in May. So I do know that there are some other Gen V characters in The Boys season 4, because like the way Gen V ended definitely is going to tie into The Boys, which is really cool. So I'm happy that they aren't recasting. I just think it's the most respectful thing to do. Other people disagree with me on that kind of forefront. I had the same kind of thoughts towards Chadwick Boseman with Black Panther 2. But yeah, that's my any thoughts on that, even though you don't watch The Boys or Gen V?
Not really.
Okay. We have one trailer for a movie called Thelma. This is a grandma action revenge thriller. It's coming to theaters June 21st. What are your thoughts on this grandma who takes matters into her own hands?
Yeah, the tagline for this and the actual trailer are a little misleading. It's almost like the tagline wants you to believe it's like
she's some John Wick type grandma.
Yeah, or maybe even what Jackie Chan did a few years ago with The Foreigner, where it's just like, okay, like this dude has a particular set of skills. He has activated these skills and along. That's not what this is, based on the trailer anyway. This is literally just a grandma who gets tricked into giving away some money, and she's like, wait, these niggas not gonna get away with this. And you know, she's like, chaos, quote unquote chaos ensues. But honestly, I was laughing pretty hard at the trailer. Like, it just looked ridiculous. Am I going to movie theaters open tonight to see this bullshit? No. I'll probably catch this on streaming, 3 weeks after it releases or whatever. If this does have a theatrical release,
shots fired.
Yes, no, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'm not going to theaters to watch this. This doesn't seem like something that I need to rush to the theater to see. But yeah, I won't say that it didn't look fun to an extent, but I'm not overly excited for this. I'll say that.
Yeah. So like you said, the trailer or the tagline would lead you to believe it's some kind of grandma that has like all these skills. It's really just a regular grandma who by happenstance happens to seem to be in the right space at the right time, doing the right thing at the right time. It seems more like a comedy angle kind of, but also somewhat grounded. It looked like a cute movie to me. I'm not going to lie. I think that this could end up being just a really surprise of the summer. Like, it's just a fun little watch. So I'm actually pretty excited for this, guys. It's called Thelma, coming to theaters June 21st. That actress has played a grandma in so many movies I've seen before. So I'm happy to see her get a lead role of this kind. And hopefully she can knock out the park.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some stuff coming to us. Ted has been renewed for a season 2 at Peacock. This show, season 1, I didn't watch Ted because I just hated the movie so much. But it's just not my style of comedy, guys. That Family Guy style. Sorry, sue me. But it's been received well. Season 1, people have been laughing about it. People have been loving it. So it's no surprise you got a season 2 on Peacock. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, not really. I mean, look, Family Guy's been on for like 25 years at this point. They've launched so many shows like American Dad, The Cleveland Show. They had Ted, the movie, come out in theaters like 10 years ago. I'm pretty sure they had a sequel. So Seth MacFarlane has like a fucking empire at this point. Or, I mean, I'm late. This nigga has been had an empire. And, you know, this TV show. So cool. Let's do it. Like you, I don't watch these films. and I don't necessarily care about this show, but I am happy for Seth MacFarlane to an extent. So, sure.
I did actually watch the films, and that's why I was just, that's why I hate him. FX is looking to make a season two of Shogun. Big surprise here after they swore up and down this would be the end of the story. Mm-hmm. But it's no surprise at the same time. Actor Hiroyuki Sanada is closing a deal to return. You don't mean that shit. Like that's a quote I thought of when I first read it. I was like, oh my god, these niggas are really doing the season two.
Yeah,
it's bittersweet for me. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think we share a similar reaction to this. I mean, obviously, what they did in season one was the beginning, middle, and end of the book that they adapted, and now they're going to be going off completely new ideas. Going into a season two, which we probably won't get for another 2 years at this point. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's good because it's more content, sure, but it's bad because now it's entirely in their hands. And as good as season one was, it did leave us with some things that I was like, okay, we need to kind of see this, at least in my view. Like I felt like we kind of deserved to see certain things. So maybe in that aspect, they can rectify and, you know, try to course correct for certain things. But I think overall, this is probably going to be a bad thing. I think that, you know, as well received as the season may be, I don't know if they can make it as good as season one was as a whole. But obviously, I hope that I'm dead wrong and I hope that it's even better. But history shows with these kind of things is that that's not really the case. So we'll see, though. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to watch it as soon as it comes out, but we'll see.
You're right about history, you know, repeating itself in this kind of trend. However, for some odd reason, I can't shake the fact that I do have faith in this season two. I feel like they just, as great as season one was, they wouldn't, I'm being naive, maybe, they wouldn't go into season two without having something, you know, some meat, to really just kind of latch on to and really continue the story, you know. I think that that Lady Mariko will be missed for sure. She's such an integral part of this show. Mm-hmm. I think they can do it, man. I don't know why I have this foolish naivety, but yeah, I think they can do it. There's been a casting call for One Piece live action season two, looking to cast a character, Princess Vivi. I guess the news here is that they're looking for someone of North African, Middle Eastern, or South Asian descent. And so some fans have been a little fickle on that. Most have been pretty receptive to this new idea of her not being white as she is in the cartoon. As a One Piece stan yourself, as a One Piece stan, what are your thoughts on Princess Vivi being of Middle Eastern, South Asian, or North African descent?
Yeah, so I mean, anybody that's read the manga or watched the anime, you understand that Alabasta is based off of Egypt, which is a real place in the world. Like it actually exists. and for those of you that are not familiar, Egypt is in Africa, which is, you know, that's where black people are from, guys. Yeah. I mean, this is exactly what Oda wants. I'm assuming Oda has taken the time to flesh out these characters, especially characters like Vivi, who's so important. And yeah, I have no problem with this at all. This is, if this show didn't come out in the 90s, Vivi probably would have been black originally anyway. So yeah, this doesn't bother me at all.
All right, nice. Exhibit teases the return of Pimp My Ride. I know. He teases the return of Pimp My Ride. Were you a fan of Pimp My Ride growing up? I'm sure we all were.
And yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Can it live in today's age? Go ahead.
Nah. I mean, this was like the one dumb show that I watched on MTV. Like I never got into like Flavor of Love and I Love New York and all that other bullshit. Like I just thought that it was trash TV. And Pimp My Ride was the one thing that like brought me some modicum of enjoyment. I was like, this is cool. And then I realized years later that this nigga was just a scammer. Like, oh my God. Like I couldn't believe that having like a fish tank and a PlayStation in the back of your car was like not sustainable. Like I was like, what do you mean? Like this nigga's car lasted like 3 months and then it just blew up. Like, oh my God. Like that's crazy. So yeah, I mean, look, maybe this is a course correction. Like maybe, you know, this nigga won't try to build rocket ships on people's things anymore. And like, it'll just be like regular, more sleeker, cooler upgrades that are that will last. So technology has improved vastly over these 20 years. So yeah, I mean, I'll give it a chance. I'll give it a singular chance. So yeah.
So I assume you didn't watch like Parental Control?
Never even heard of that.
Oh my God. Did you watch Room Raiders?
Never heard of that.
You never heard of Room Raiders? MTV Cribs, obviously.
I mean, I've seen snippets of that, but I've never watched an episode of MTV Cribs.
Wow, 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 wow. But yeah, this show is nuts. It's insane. I don't think it deserves to come back. Exhibit was really he was just off his rocker, bro. Like he'd be like, "Oh, you suicidal, huh? Well, it's some nooses installed in the backseat." Like, nigga, like he was insane. Like this idea can't sustain itself for more than just a season, I don't think. But who knows? I could be wrong.
People thought that about fucking Neve show,
Catfish,
which is dog. Do you know that show is still on? Like that show is still on the air with like regular episodes.
Like new episodes?
New episodes. Catfish in 2024. No nigga. I'd be like, bro, I'd be sitting on TikTok. I'd be like, there's no way that people are still going through this shit. It's crazy.
Like, nigga, just FaceTime me, bitch. Like, anyway. Travis Kelce has been cast in Ryan Murphy's high-profile new FX horror series called Grotesquery. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Or Grotesquery, something like that. But yeah, he's stepping into the acting world. Ryan Murphy's a tycoon when it comes to these kind of shows, the Glees of the world, American Horror Stories, Dahmer's. So yeah, are you excited to see Travis? Oh, well, not excited, but do you think Travis Kelce can make the transition? He seems like a pretty personable guy.
Yeah. I have no doubt that, you know, he's going to be placed in a position to where he does very little to make himself look as good as possible. So yeah, let's do it. Sure. Start it up.
A reality competition series based on Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory is in the works at Netflix. Is Netflix becoming the new Sony? Just greenlighting everything that comes across their fucking desk. Now, look, I did talk shit about that Squid Game reality show, and it actually was pretty super entertaining. I'm not going to lie. So maybe this can fall alongside that. But what are your thoughts on a Willy Wonka Chocolate Factory reality show?
Niggas are getting
bored. How many cavities will there be by the end?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are just getting bored and I don't know. I guess we're out of the age of them trying to bring back stuff from our childhood. And now they're just like, okay, what was cool when they were like 13? Reality shows. So here we go. Let's bring back all the reality shows. Great. This is stupid. I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it just the first couple episodes just to see because I was skeptical about the Squid Game show and it was really good. Lionsgate is developing a scripted series around Shohei Ohtani's interpreter gambling scandal. They're quick, man, these days. They're quick. If some shit goes down, they will script the fuck out of that and put it out within a year. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is a, for those of you that don't know, he's a baseball superstar, one of the best players in the league since Babe Ruth. Yeah, he is from Japan. He literally speaks like three words of English, so he had to have an interpreter. This interpreter allegedly was stealing his money to place bets on and against the Los Angeles Angels at the time that Shohei Ohtani played for them. The news broke maybe 3 months ago. It has not been that long, right before the season started, actually. So yeah, about maybe even 2 months ago. Like it really hasn't been that long. Like as we record this pod, and this is crazy that they're doing it this fast. But it was a major story, man. I mean, this is like, I mean, imagine if 10 years ago LeBron James got accused of this thing. Like it's the same thing. Shohei Ohtani is that important to baseball, so it really doesn't surprise me. But it's crazy that just happened so fast. So yeah.
Michelle Yeoh will star in Blade Runner 2099 on Amazon Studios, or for Amazon Studios, should I say. I don't think you've ever watched any of the Blade Runner movies. Have you? Okay, it's just two. The first one was by Ridley Scott. The second was actually by Denis Villeneuve. That's the only one I saw, Blade Runner 2049, which was amazing, starring Ryan Gosling, Harrison Ford returned. That movie is one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen, just from a spectacle and just how it looks, and it's just a really great story. But a series is in the works, guys. That's kind of the more important news. But Michelle Yeoh will star, I guess, is really cool as well. So yeah, Blade Runner fans, we have some more content coming our way.
Shout out to Michelle Yeoh.
A third 47 meters down movie is in the works. Wait. This film follows. I'll repeat. A third 47 meters down film is in the works. The film follows a father who looks to rebuild his bond with his daughter while scuba diving and exploring a famous shipwreck until they get trapped underwater. And then, I assume sharks are on the horizon. So, are you a fan of these 47 meters down movies? And are you excited for this new third one?
So, you know, it's funny, Mondi. I love these movies. Like, I don't know why.
This means nothing coming from him. He's a shark aficionado. He loves any shark movie besides Jaws, believe it or not. But go ahead.
First of all, guys, Deep Blue Sea is the greatest shark movie of all time, okay? Just gonna throw that out there. I don't know why that these movies, like, I will go see this before I go see fucking Furiosa. Like, like, you tell me that there's a fucking shark attack movie, bitch, I'm there. Like, I'll be there opening night for this bullshit. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be garbage, just like the last one was. Which that one was, I want to say it was like 47 meters down too, but that's not what it was called. It was called something.
Isn't Blake Lively in one of these movies?
Jamie Foxx's daughter was the star of the first one, and don't remember who was the star of the. I don't know who Blake Lively is. So
if she's Ryan Reynolds' wife, she was a big actress. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, if she was in the second one, I don't know her.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, I'll be there opening night. I mean, great. Let's do it. 47 meters down, part three. Holy fuck.
Reference, guys, I believe the Meg 2 was in his top 5 movies of last year, guys, just to give you an idea how much he loves shark movies, or top 10 at least.
Yeah, it was definitely my top 10. I don't know about top 5, but it was definitely my top 10, yeah. And yeah, fuck you, that one was super fucking fun and entertaining. Fuck you.
This nigga Jason Statham punched a shark.
Punch.
Not only a shark, guys, a megalodon.
1v1, nigga.
Put him up, you fucking shark. Anyway. Movie is in nuts. The works about a young Sylvester Stallone and the dramatic journey that it took to get Rocky 1 made. And, God, it actually is a pretty interesting story about his journey from, you know, overseas and getting this Rocky movie made. It's actually pretty crazy. But, yeah, they're making a movie on that experience. Not Rocky itself, but about that. The actor himself, you know, doing the movie. So could this interest you possibly?
Probably not. I've never been this biggest Sylvester Stallone fan. But I will say that, like you, the story is probably interesting. So depending on the angle that they go for the film, I may check this out. But I'm not necessarily checking for this now, no.
I swear, when it comes to like Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger, like it's either one or the other for y'all niggas. Like it's like Beyonce and Rihanna. Like you just can't like guys. He loves Arnold, so you just can't like Sly too.
It's so That's stupid. Not true, but all right.
Yes, it is. Anyway, boy chose the side. He's sticking with it. Sam Hargrave, who is the director of the Extraction movies, will direct the live action Matchbox movie for Mattel. That so for guys who don't know, Matchbox is like it was like an old car toy company. It made like it was like the Hot Wheels competitor, so to speak. And I believe Hot Wheels has a movie coming out as well. So we got Fast and Furious, Hot Wheels, and now a Matchbox movie. Fast and Furious, what have you done? I'll be there opening night. What are your thoughts?
Never heard of Matchbox. Don't give a fuck about this.
Are you serious? You never had a Matchbox cars? Like it's like they're Hot Wheels. It's like little toy cars.
Nope.
Oh, wow. Okay. A new Godzilla X Kong film is in the works. No surprise here after the success of the newest movie that just came out.
Yeah. No surprise. Yeah. And I want it. So whatever. I don't think that this latest one was like good or bad, but I think it was a hell of a lot of fun. I can't wait for more. Just fun. That's basically what this is now. They're not even trying to like make them good. It's just about the kills, the roars, the destructions, and I'm here for it. Let's just do it.
Yeah, I just want to see Godzilla fuck Shimo. That's all I want to see.
And then you want Shimo to see that?
Shimo is a female, guys. Yes, I do want to see it. I want them to have offspring. The most powerful kaiju to ever exist.
Half vampire and half lichen, but stronger than both.
Big news for Lord of the Rings fans. There's a new Lord of the Rings film. It's titled The Hunt for Gollum. Andy Serkis, which is also really, really cool, who, of course, played Gollum in the early films. He was one of the first actors to do motion capture at that scale, will now direct this film, which is such a full circle moment, such a cool moment, and stars Gollum as well. So Peter Jackson, of course, director of the trilogy, will produce these movies, or this movie, should I say. And so, yeah, this is a really interesting turn of events for Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
The hunt for Gollum, people are already speculating, what could this possibly mean? You have no context, you have no idea, probably, but it's going to be really cool. Really, really cool.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, maybe you don't even know this, but they've adapted all the books already, right?
I'm not sure if they not every Tolkien book, because, you know, Tolkien wrote a lot. But the main Lord of the Rings series has been adapted, yes, and the Hobbit series has been adapted as well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's other Tolkien writings as well that I don't think have been adapted.
Oh, and is that what these are based on? Or, like, are these no adaptions, idea. Or is this like, okay, well.
No idea.
Cool. Got it.
All right. The Incredibles 3 is likely happening at Pixar. Are we here for it?
Ultimately, no. Look, I'm going to be their opening fucking night for this, just like I was for the first one, just like I was for the second one. However, the second one disappointed me so much to where I'm just content if we never get this again. But I feel like this is, again, like, this is the third time I'm going to say this, but, like, this is just course correction. Like, I mean, first of all, we have literally no details about this aside from that it may be happening. So, like, you know, take that for what it's worth. But hopefully in this one we see we're going to get the classic Edna scene. We're going to get the... I think they need to age them up. I'm pretty sure you wrote a mini script about this. Like, they need to age them up and do something more than just the reverse of what they did in the first one, which is what this was. Have like a real villain again, because I don't even remember who the villain was. It was like some Starro shit, which took them over.
The screen slaver.
Whatever. And they've got to do something about Jack-Jack, because it just wasn't fun at a certain point. So yeah,
expound upon that. What do you mean Jack-Jack wasn't fun? Was he a god?
He was, nigga. This nigga, no, Superman had nothing on Jack-Jack. Like, this nigga's power set was just whatever it needed to be at that moment, and it was just ridiculous. So I don't want to see it. I don't want to see that anymore. So yeah, Incredibles 3. Hopefully we get it, I guess. Monty?
I agree. Incredibles 2 was a disappointment, but after going back and watching it a couple of years ago, it's not a bad movie at all. It's still a really good movie. It's just in comparison to what The Incredibles 1 was, which was absolute perfection. It's my favorite 3D animated movie of all time. It is.
It's my favorite 3D animated movie of all time.
Okay. So yeah, so part 2 was disappointing in comparison to that perfection. I think Pixar has heard our complaints. I really do. And like you said, it could be course correction, but if course correction leads to a third entry in this incredible franchise, and I'm totally here for it, that is good. And like you said, I totally agree. They need to age them up. Guys, I did a pod a couple years ago, me and Jillian, where I did pitch a mini script for Incredibles 2, which included teenage Jack-Jack and adult Dash, which I think would really, really be a cool idea, fun idea. Yeah, just go something different. Like, don't try to do Incredibles 1 over again like how they did in Incredibles 2. Just take it wildly in a different direction, and let's have fun with this franchise again, because Incredibles is just such an interesting world that I think it deserves a part 3, honestly. Amy Poehler, star of the Inside Out movies, who plays the character Joy, talks about wanting more Inside Out sequels. Inside Out 2 is coming this summer. Her quote was, "I just think that they should make these films like 7-Up every couple of years in Riley's life. Riley is the little girl that all these emotions live inside of. A young adult, a young mother, and I think a middle-aged person. Everyone's having these very distinct emotions at that time." And I agree. That'd be a really cool idea to maybe revisit Inside Out every maybe 5 or 10 years and have her emotions displayed at different stages of her life. That'd be a really, really cool. I'm totally here for that. You never watched Inside Out, but I'm pretty sure you get the gist of what the movie's about. But I think that could be a really cool idea. Do you agree?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, on paper anyway. I'm not sure how they're going to execute that for multiple children, you know, runtime films. But yeah, on paper, it does sound like a great idea. So, sure.
All right, let's talk some reviews. I only watched one movie and one roast.
Me too.
Did you finish any shows or any movies?
Yeah, I watched Abigail on streaming.
Oh, nice.
On Prime Video. So let's talk about Abigail. You watched it last week when it came out in theater
before,
2 weeks
before
ago.
Before you do Abigail, I'm going to do my roast of Tom Brady. It's going to be real quick.
Oh, okay, good.
Guys, the roast of Tom Brady, the roast of Tom Brady is now streaming on Netflix. It's 3 hours long, and it was absolutely amazing. I miss these roasts so much. Back in the day, they used to come on all the time on Comedy Central. It's just where they take a celebrity, guys, if you're not familiar with the concept, and they just roast the fuck out of them. It's literally what it sounds like. Kevin Hart was the host this time. He did amazing as the host. And I was just literally surprised at how many jokes. Yes, Kevin Hart, he did great.
Wow.
I was surprised at how many jokes they were able to do in this kind of special. Like, this is like a live recording on Netflix, by the way, which is really cool. And these jokes were so like non-PC. It was crazy. Like, they were like talking about everything under the sun. I was like, and I'm surprised that was able to be aired in 2024. I thought it made the roast that much better. Tom Brady was even getting in on some of it himself. It was just really, really great, man. I think that if you're a fan of comedy, if you're a fan of Tom Brady, I think you'll really enjoy the roast. They go in on him. So yeah, it's just a really cool, fun thing on Netflix. 3 hours long of just, you know, bullshit. Anyway,
You made me remember that I watched Cat Williams live, also on Netflix. His new stand-up special. I forget what it was called, but that just goes into the review of this special. This shit was so ass.
I'm hearing that, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. And look, man, I am a fan of stand-up comedy. Like, I really am. And I am not just a fan of the big names. Me and Avi, we literally went to a comedy show the other day. We saw some local comics here in Vegas. And we've been doing this for so many years, like 10, 11 years. Like, it's something that we really enjoy. But to that end, we've seen so much. So you've got to fucking bring it or you're going to be asked to us. And look, Cat Williams isn't one of those guys. Like, Cat Williams is a legend. If he never does another comedy special, like, his spot is already cemented, in my opinion, anyway. But this special, bro, it was really bad. It was an hour long special, just like they gave Chris Rock last year, right after the Oscar slap or whatever. Cat Williams, really off of the Shannon Sharpe interview and all this negativity, as Black Twitter likes to call it, that he's created. Netflix has given him a live 1 hour special that they barely promoted, which I thought was super weird. It came on at 10 o'clock Eastern, which I also thought was super weird. But then I realized that he was doing it live from California. So I thought, okay, fine. But anyway, it was just boring, bro. it was just boring. Like, it kind of lacked that Cat Williams energy and spirit, which is weird because Cat Williams is more of a, like he's more of that, like, in your face type comic. And I just feel like it was like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting too old and too desensitized to care about some of the topics that he was discussing. I'm tired of hearing about Donald Trump. I'm tired of hearing about gay. I'm tired of hearing about trans. Like, I'm just tired of it, especially if it's not funny. like you can joke about anything, but it has to be fucking funny. And a lot of times it just wasn't. I actually turned it off about 35 minutes in. I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, I haven't laughed once. Not once. Kevin Hart special that came out 5 years ago, the one that he did in his house with his pajamas, that was ass. But at least I was laughing during that one. I was like, okay, that was funny at least. And this one, I was just like, I was so disappointed. So Cat Williams, whatever special you just released, fuck you. That shit was ass. Be better.
Remember, I told you the last one I saw, I was like, that was kind of bad. And so maybe he just needs to quit while he's ahead, because yeah, his last one was pretty bad too. I haven't seen the newest one though. Please give me your thoughts on Abigail.
Yeah, Abigail. Thank you. Another ass movie. Oh my god, this movie was ass. I was so disappointed. Okay. But look, again, let me set the stage for my current Aeropod brethren here. Excuse me, guys. I love vampire movies. I am one of those guys that do not think vampires are a fucking joke, and it seems like we're just in this popular trend where if the vampire is not a joke, then it's like not on screen, which I just hate. The last serious one we got was The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which I absolutely loved. But one of the reasons that I loved it was because they took it seriously. Like this is not funny to me, bro. Like it just isn't. Like it just isn't. And there were just one too many times in the course of my watching of Abigail, which Abby watched with me, that I was just like, I shouldn't be laughing at this. It's so funny. Like,
it's a comedy, so you should be laughing at it.
But what I'm saying is that I don't go into these movies wanting to laugh, especially when things clearly aren't the joke. Like if I'm laughing at the joke, okay, fine. But like, I shouldn't be laughing at the fact that Fez got his head cut off or whatever. And there was nothing funny about that scene, but the way it was shot, the way it looked, it was just like, what the fuck is this? Like this, like these effects are terrible. I will agree with you on the little girl play Abigail. She was great in what she was able to do. But there's like a few tropes that I'm really tired of when it comes to these little goofy ass vampire movies. One of them is this like song and dance where like clearly they've got the upper hand throughout the entirety of the film, and they're playing with their food throughout the entirety of the film. I get it. This is what vampires do. They're, you know, I mean, but come on, bro. Like there were so many times where Abigail was just like running after them for no reason, when like she clearly is like faster, stronger, better. Like she could have easily killed them all multiple times throughout the film. But it just didn't happen. There's the time where they actually get the upper hand on her and they don't kill her, when they clearly have the like, if you watch the movie, there's a clear point in the film where they've got her. Like there's nothing she can, like they've got her.
But they were trying to escape though, just to play devil's advocate. They were trying to, and they couldn't escape.
They still could have killed the fucking vampire and then figured that part out. I'm just saying. I mean, like
that's fair. That's fair.
I'm just saying. Like what? Like the creative choice to make the vampires explode into just guts and blood after they die was just really weird. And one of the biggest fucking tropes that I can't stand when it comes to these movies is that all of a sudden at the end, everybody's a vampire. Ah! We just automatically cut to the shot. We're just like, oh, he turned mean 2 years ago. Ah! Like, bro, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, this fucking Scooby-Doo and Zombie Island ass plot, this shit was ass. Ooh. I'm sorry. I didn't enjoy this at all. I was very disappointed. RIP to Angus Cloud, but Jesus. Melissa Barrera. She was cool. Like, it was good to see her on screen, but she's better in Scream. And I wish she was still in that instead of this bullshit. But yeah, I didn't have fun with this. I gave this a D. This is a bad movie to me. This is a really bad movie from terms of visual effects, from narrative, to creative choices. Like this is just bad in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah. So if you remember my review, I didn't love the movie either. I gave it a C. I thought it was average. And like I said in my review as well, I said, if you are a well-versed vampire fan, like you and myself, there's nothing new here at all. Yeah. And this comes from the studio of Radio Silence, which makes it to Scream 5 and Scream 6 that they did Ready or Not. So that exploding guts kind of thing has been a trend. Well, not with the Scream movies, but with Ready or Not, if you haven't seen that, with Samara Weaving. So yeah, I push back on the only one point that you made, which is that the comedy, the over the topness, like what did you, it's a movie about a little girl who's a ballerina vampire. Like, was you expected to take itself serious? I mean,
yes.
Expectations do kind of matter with these kind of movies as well. Like they didn't market it as some serious movie. So why would you go into it with those expectations?
Didn't they?
No, not at all. It was supposed to be a goofy, stupid little girl. That's why I remember when the trailer came out, we were like, this looks fun. Like, you know?
I didn't take it that way personally. Okay. I didn't take their marketing for this as some goofy comedy personally.
Well, not goofy comedy, but like a goofy like a Renfield kind of movie.
I didn't take it for that. And if I would have, I would not have watched this because Renfield fucking sucked too.
Okay. All right. Guys, Julian wants his vampires serious.
You're right.
All right.
I just can't stand it, bro. Like, oh, please help us. We finally found you.
So did you like Day Shift with Jamie Foxx on Netflix?
No.
That was a pretty goofy take too.
It was. But Jamie Foxx was in it, so it was a little better because it was Jamie Foxx being Jamie Foxx. But yeah, I didn't love that movie either, no.
Okay. Next review here, guys, is for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. It's a Wonderful Day. Now playing in theaters. just real quick, my thoughts on the trilogy that just came out that Matt Reeves did. I've always said it. It's one of the most underrated trilogies of all time. It's literally amazing. Julian, what do you think is underrated? Guys. Because no one talked about it. Like, people always talk about Star Wars as being the best trilogy of all time or Lord of the Rings, which, granted, those are perfect arguments. But I'm just saying, like, this new Matt Reeves trilogy that he did, it's literally every film, every entry is literally great, and it gets better. Well, I think Dawn is the best, but still, I think it just deserves to get more recognition, in my opinion. Anyway, I was really excited to watch this movie. I watched the 1968 version, the classic film, for the first time just last year. It was amazing. It held up so well after all these years. After watching the trailer for this movie, I'm like, okay, it's like a recreation of the 1968 movie. That's kind of where the movies are kind of leading us to. It's not that at all. It's definitely a different kind of story. But they definitely pull some inspiration from like certain scenes and certain shots and certain takes from the 1968 version.
Get your hands off me, you damn dirty
human. Oh, well, they said human in another one, but yeah. Andy Serkis as Caesar, I think, is one of the best written characters of all time. I had a poll on my Twitter a couple days ago, like, who's the best written character, or who had the best arc, should I say? Him as Caesar, Zuko from Last Airbender, or Franklin from Snowfall. I think Zuko won just because more people watched The Last Airbender. They don't really know that shit. But anyway, So a big question that many people have is, like, going into this movie, I assume anyways, can you watch this movie and enjoy it without having watched the Matt Reeves trilogy? And the answer is totally yes, you can. It takes place 300 years later, but big but here, they do reference the character Caesar a lot in this movie, and so just having that context of watching those trilogy, or that trilogy should I say, would definitely enhance your viewing. So I would recommend still watching the trilogy, because Caesar's name is name dropped a lot, even though it's so far in the future. This comes from director Wes Ball, who made the Maze Runner trilogy. He's doing the new live-action Zelda movie as well. So I was a little worried because Matt Reeves has such a perfect handle on this series. It was really cool to see the actress Freya Allen as the lead human here. She was in The Witcher. She plays the character Cersei. I'm a big Witcher fan, so I really enjoyed seeing her. What this movie got right so well was, bro, the motion capture in this movie is like, it's fucking beyond words. Like, it is amazing. Like, the technology is getting better and better and better. It's like Avatar Way of Water level, like what James Cameron did there. It's just so amazing. These apes are so expressive. Like, you can just tell every single emotion from the most minute details. It's just like, this is the hair, the fur, everything looks so real. I was like, this is really, really crazy. I think that the new antagonist here, his name is Proximus Caesar. And his name is that because if you watch the movie, you'll see that he's kind of inspired by the teachings of Caesar, played by Kevin Durant from Abigail, actually. The big buff guy, the big dumb guy from Abigail, he plays Proximus Caesar. He was a fantastic antagonist. He was amazing. Hope to see more of him in the trilogy, this new trilogy, as we go forward. Our new protagonist here, his name is Noah, as opposed to Caesar. I think he can definitely be somebody that we can get behind and root for sure. I had a great job at seeing both sides of the conflict, from humans and from apes. Obviously, a big theme in all these movies is that, you know, the big war between humans and apes, who's going to win, and can you see their ideologies on both sides? And I really could. I really understand why the humans did what they had to do and why the apes did what they did. I really understood both sides of that. My biggest complaint with the film, though, however, is that, like I said, Wes Ball, new director under this new franchise, or this franchise, clearly does not have the mastery that Matt Reeves had with the trilogy. And you can just tell. I think it's not bad at all. I think he can definitely get better with this new trilogy as it goes on. But just the focus of the film and just the character interactions and just the overall theme of Planet of the Apes, I think that Matt Reeves just handled that so much better. So I ended up giving the film a B-. I think it's still a good film. I think it's the worst out of the last four that have come out, though, I'll say that. But based on the ending of this film, there are huge implications moving forward, which could really lead to some very interesting storylines. So I'm really excited to see where this new trilogy goes. I'll say that. So yeah, I gave it a B minus. It's funny because there's one black. These movies are so scary to cast black actors in these motion capture roles because it's like, you know, apes, black people are just kind of racist. They finally casted a black dude in this movie as one of the apes, as an orangutan named, I forgot his name, Raka. And of course he dies. Like, it's like, damn, like we get one black dude and not only he's gay. Yes, the ape is gay and he dies. I'm like, Jesus Christ, just leave us out of this shit then. So that was pretty funny. Also, fun fact, the stars of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes had to go to ape school for 6 weeks. The quote was, they did stunt work, training, physical conditioning, and they had a coach that would help them how to move and improvise in their ape form, which is just really, really cool. And also, it's been confirmed now that Planet of the Apes writers and producers have plans for the franchise to go 9 films in this new franchise. So the Matt Reeves trilogy is 3 films. This is 4. We got 5 more to go, guys. So I assume this will be a trilogy, and then we'll have another trilogy a couple years later, which I think could really be cool because in the 1968 version, the apes were like almost as advanced as we are as humans now. And so I think it's trending in that direction. Like the last trilogy will be like the apes, like basically like us, like cars and shit. So that could be really, really cool. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Cool, man. Yeah, Avi and I are going to start it tonight. So I'm excited. Going back to the beginning. Yep, we're going to start it tonight. Going back to the beginning.
Starting at 1968, Mark Wahlberg or Rise?
68.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I will say this. The 68 version is amazing. But, you know, that's a 5-movie French. Like, that's a 5-movie thing. It goes Beneath the Planet. It goes that movie, Beneath, Conquest, and then, like, Escape, and then, like, Battle for the Planet of the Apes. I heard those 4... kind of iffy. That's what I heard. I haven't watched them. So I heard if you watch the first 1968 version, you can really just jump ahead to the new ones, really. But if you want to watch all 5, be my guest. But I'm just telling you what I heard from the outside. I didn't watch the other 4. Do you plan on watching all 5 of those or just the first one?
Yeah, I plan on watching every single one.
Seriously? Wow. Interesting.
It's a plan. It doesn't mean it's going to happen, but that's my plan.
I'm just saying, because a week ago, you didn't watch any of them. Now you're on this big old, you know, plan, I guess, to watch all of them. Are you gonna watch?
I had always told you that I was going to watch these movies. I just told you that I was not going to watch them before this movie came out on Thursday. So sorry, no.
Yeah, but I thought you were starting at Rise, which is the first Matt Reeves one, which I think you can still do and enjoy them. But okay,
yeah.
Have you seen the Matt Reeves? I mean, have you seen the Mark Wahlberg one? Tim Burton that did in 2001.
I have, but that was when I was a child. So I mean, I don't remember that at all.
Hate that movie. I love it for what it's not great, but I love it. It's fun. But
isn't that the one with Michael Clark Duncan?
Yes, and he's the big old ape. So like, fans, like real apes fans, hate that one. They condemn it. I love it for what it is. Oh, wow. It's fun. But just give me a little foreknowledge on that. But okay, cool. Please update me on your journey as we go on. I would love for you to get actually like review them on the pod. That'd be cool. Let's talk some Marvel DC stuff real quick. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which came out last year, had a net profit of $328 million. The most successful superhero movie of last year. Any surprise there?
What came out last year?
Guardians 3, Aquaman 2, Ninja Turtles, Flash? Marvels, Flash, yeah.
Yeah, no surprise.
Blue Beetle.
no surprise. Congratulations.
Okay, cool. The Agatha series has been retitled once again, guys. God. So if y'all haven't been keeping up with this, it's been retitled like at least 4 times now. This is the Agatha Harkness MCU Disney Plus series. It's now called Agatha the Lying Witch with Great Wardrobe. Obviously, a play on words with the line, the witch, and the wardrobe. It's coming later this year on Disney Plus. That title kind of scares me only because they're obviously, now it's like a joke. It's going to be like they're leaning into like the joke of it all, I think.
They are.
And so, obviously, I expect a level of comedy with Disney, with Marvel Disney adaptations, but this is just giving me like pure straight up comedy, and I don't want that for Agatha show. I think it could be a really cool show, just like focusing on the witchcraft, you know, section of the Marvel universe. But they're going to take us into a joke, probably. So, yeah,
I think this is nothing more than them just having a laugh. This show is just always like it's always been called just Agatha, and that's what the show is going to be titled when we watch it. All this name changing shit is just to spark internet conversation and to make people remember that this show exists. Because honestly, I forget every time until they come out with a name change, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, this show is happening." Yeah, I don't. I stopped keeping track of what it's actually called after the second time they did it. I'm like, all right, bitch, I get it. And now we're on their fifth name change. So I expect it to be changed again by the time it comes out, and it'll just be called Agatha.
Will you be watching it?
Okay, yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll be watching it.
Okay.
Sure will.
Bob Iger, president of Disney, once again, announces that Marvel Studios has a new yearly output plan. Ooh. Three movies max, and two shows. And my thoughts on that is, what the fuck changed? Isn't that what they've been doing for like the last fucking 3 years?
That's what it seems like.
But okay, sure. Three movies max and two movies and two shows a year. Okay. I guess that's the new plan.
Yeah, I believe when I fucking see it.
Kevin Feige says Marvel is, quote, comfortable being the underdog again. He says, I prefer being able to surprise and exceed expectations. It does seem like the last year has set us up well for that. Taking shots at the Marvels, and I guess what else came out that was MCU related?
Guardians.
That was received pretty well, though. Anyway, he said, Sean Levy, director of Deadpool 3, adds, you have to live under a rock not to know the last few Marvel movies have failed to ignite the world in the way that many did beforehand. So I like the fact that they're acknowledging the fact that the MCU has kind of dipped in quality over the last couple of years, but honestly, they're just talking, in my opinion. Until I see it, I mean, this means nothing to me.
Yep, I agree. I mean, what else are you supposed to say? Yeah, we're rocking and rolling and we're doing great. Whatever. Yeah, this doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Ian Ousley, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, the guy that plays Sokka in Avatar live action, has expressed interest in wanting to play Beast Boy in the new Teen Titans live action movie for the DCU. What are your thoughts? Do you think he could do it? Sokka from Last Airbender.
I think it's funny because immediately when he said that, they were just like the entirety of the internet was just like, no, it's Iñaki Godoy who played Luffy in the Netflix live action, which I think is also hilarious because they're not casting him. They're not.
Why you say that?
Because he's going to be too busy doing fucking One Piece. And even like,
he's doing Last Airbender.
The internet seldom gets what they want. And when they cast some random dude that we've never heard of who looks exactly like Beast Boy, they're going to be like, oh, great. This is great, though. But yeah, Ian Ousley, whatever your name is. Sure. Whatever. He wants to do it. I don't care. Who gives a fuck about Beast Boy? I'm sorry. Who gives a fuck?
Now you're being disrespectful. Bitch. I do think that Sokka, the live action Sokka, was one of the best parts of the new Last Airbender show. That was absolutely horrible. So if there's anybody that can do it in that cast, sure. I think he has the energy. But like you said, I do think Iñaki Godoy is the better option. But am I being biased because that was just such a better show than the Last Airbender? I don't know. Maybe take the actors in the vacuum and we'll see who's the better option. We'll see there. But Ryan Potter, who actually plays Beast Boy on Titans, the Titans show, which goes to hell that no one talks about, says that he would like to have Iñaki Godoy as well succeed him as Beast Boy in the Teen Titans DCU film. So he's actually putting a campaign for another actor, which is really interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Shogun star, Anna Sawai, who plays Lady Mariko, says that she was banned to audition for the role of Katana in David Ayer's Suicide Squad by her manager of her, at the time, J-pop group. Of course, that role ends up going to Kimiko from The Boys, who I think, you know, she's great on The Boys, and she wasn't giving much as Katana to say it was good or bad. But interesting that we could have Anna Sawai as Katana.
Hey, sure. I'm sorry, buddy. Who gives a fuck?
Give me something, bitch. God damn it. Like talking to a fucking wall.
This is ridiculous. Look, who cares?
People always make fun of that Joel Kinnaman, Rick Flag, the way like the way he introduces her in the movie. People always make fun of it. He's like, this is Katana. Her sword can take your soul when she stabs you. Like, nigga just gave a whole fucking backstory just because they didn't have time to squeeze it in. Anyway, James Gunn posted a photo of David Corn Sweat, the new Superman, in his suit. We like it? The internet has been having a lot of fun with this this photo reveal. nigga posing like he in an Instagram picture. Do we like Superman's new suit?
I am more upset with James Gunn selecting this picture, this pose, as his introduction for Superman.
Don't look at it if you haven't seen it.
It was what? Were you fucking high when you were like, yeah, this is it. Release it.
Nigga put that shit on, ain't he?
And no, he didn't. Like, what the fuck? Look, I think that this is just a terrible choice for a pose for a Superman picture. But anyway, as far as the suit, because I mean that's the real shit. Like, how does the suit look? I don't love it, but it's going to grow on me, I'm assuming. And you know, again, guys, my history is I automatically hate everything when I initially see it. I still remember all the way back in 2006, when Heath Ledger's Joker look got released. And I was like, this looks fucking stupid. Like, what is this? What is this white makeup lipstick bullshit? Like, this nigga looks dumb. It's iconic to me now. So I'm not going to overreact to this, even though it's really hard not to. Because honestly, I don't love it. I don't really love any of it. I don't even love David Cronenworth, whatever the fuck that nigga's name is, as my Kal-El. No.
Cronenworth.
Sure. I don't love him yet, but I'm sure it's going to grow on me. I'm sure he's going to be amazing. So, yeah. What do you think, Monty?
Kal-El, no.
What was Gakudo thinking? Well, I guess the big, first of all, I hate this like reveal culture that we're in, where everything has to be revealed months and months in advance. I would love to just see this for the first time in the trailer. But I like the suit, man, for what it looks like in a still shot. I think that we won't really get an idea of how we feel about it till we see it like in live action and motion, moving, flying through the air. Mm-hmm. But for what we got, I like it. This is the first time that we have Superman with the trunks in a long time. Mm-hmm. That was a big point of contention as well online. I think that, sure, the trunks, I don't mind with or without, as long as the suit, if it looks good with the suit. I'm here for it. So I think it's kind of split in half. I've seen people say, like you, they hate the new suit. I've seen people say that they love it. So I like it for what it is so far. Like I said, my real thoughts will come when I see it in motion in live action.
Yep.
Real quick, what's the better suit to you? Superman suit, the Brandon and Ralph Superman Return suit, which is just a classic look, really clean, or the new man, or the Henry Cavill suit?
It's Henry Cavill's, bro. That shit's so really fucking clean to me. That shit's so fucking clean to me.
But okay. I love the Brandon Ralph suit too. It's like that.
I do too.
Classic spandex. I like it. It's pretty cool.
I love it too. Okay. But yeah, that Henry Cavill suit is just it's just different. It's just different.
Okay. Jenna Carano. Real quick.
Wait. We both acknowledge that the Man of Steel trailer is one of the greatest trailers ever that I've seen. Anyway, like I think
of all time.
Yeah, like I think we both feel that way. Do you think that puts any pressure on this Superman trailer that we're going to get inevitably in 6 months or a year or whatever? Like, are you going to watch it and be like, this wasn't better than Man of Steel trailer? Or like, can you remove your bias and be like, this is, you know, if the trailer is good anyway, like this is still a good trailer. What do you think?
I don't think a direct trailer to trailer comparison is going to mean anything to me. I just care more so about the movie. Because if they fall into that trap of just trying to make the trailer better, they may end up revealing too much, just trying to get us hype for it. I'm still upset that they're going to have so many other characters in this film, in a Superman film. So that's still a point that I don't like. So, the trailer itself, I'm going to watch it opening night regardless. I just want to see if the movie will hold up more than anything. I don't care about the trailer, to be honest.
I don't know, man. I mean, I kind of wish that the Man of Steel trailer wasn't as good. Like I kind of wish that it was just like a regular trailer, but to me it's like so fucking good. It's so iconic that I don't think that I'll be able to help but compare. And it's so funny because we're talking about a fucking trailer, like like it's literally just like a promo to get you to the movies. Like I fucking need that for a Superman movie. But we'll see when it comes out inevitably.
Gina Carano, who plays, of course, the character Cara Dune on The Mandalorian, and she's had a career before that as well. Who knows what she did? Said that she'll be willing to return to Star Wars, and has no animosity towards Disney. The internet called her for what she was, a broke bitch. You need some work.
Damn.
Look, I feel for her, obviously, for what happened in terms of her firing from The Mandalorian, but of course, she's willing to return. Of course you are. But go ahead. Any thoughts on that? And do you want to see... I actually do want to see Cara Dune return to Mandalore. I think she was a good... I liked her and Mando together, their chemistry. She has to look how she did when she left the show. But I think that Cara Dune returning could actually be a good thing, to be honest. Any thoughts?
I don't even remember what she got quote-unquote fired for. But sure. Yeah, if she wants to come back, let's do it.
I can't remember either. It was some strong conservative point on something. I can't remember what the exact words either, to be honest. But yeah. Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max will be offered in a new package bundle this summer in the U.S. Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery have announced that this is happening. Pricing and more details will be announced soon. Quote is, the new bundle will be available for purchase on any of the three streaming platforms' websites, offered as both an ad-supported and an ad-free plan. So Disney, Hulu, and Max coming together is a really big deal. It's given Monopoly, to be honest. But what are your thoughts on this?
This is interesting because, yeah, it's like you said, like these are, you know, three pretty big streaming services. Well, I mean, I guess Disney, Hulu are already together, but Disney, Hulu, and HBO Max. It's so funny. Like, I don't know what HBO Max has to offer aside from Game of Thrones. So
the whole DC catalog. What are you talking about? Dune.
They still have a lot.
Yeah, they have a lot on Max. All of Warner Brothers, Barbie, Oppenheimer, a lot.
So old shit. But I meant like new and original programming.
Like new shows?
Yeah, like new and original programming. Like what do they have aside from like Game of Thrones?
Oh, I guess that counts as Game of Thrones, House of Dragon coming this summer. Yeah. I mean, I think that's still a big thing to acquire regardless, though, just because of their catalog. Harry Potter.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, like I said, interesting, I guess. I mean, I guess I'll have to pay more. I mean, I literally pay for these three individually, so maybe it'll save me money now. So we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, as a consumer like me and you are, I'm sure we'll get the bundle, but it is interesting just to see what's happening. Netflix, are they shaking in their boots?
No.
Is Netflix going to recruit Peacock and Paramount Plus? we'll see. TikTok has officially sued the U.S. government. They claim the app being banned is an unprecedented violation of the First Amendment right of speech. Yeah, they're squabbling now. Fight back. Fight back, TikTok. I need you. So, yeah. Any thoughts on this?
Yeah, this isn't going to work. They're still going to get shut down. Those are my thoughts.
Have some faith, brother.
This might delay the inevitable, but nothing can change. These old white men want TikTok gone, so it's going to be gone.
Bro, I don't know if you've been keeping up with some of like the White House correspondence meetings with this. It's just these niggas are so stupid in the Congress. EA CEO, so EA like EA Sports getting the game, says they're looking at putting ads in their video games. This almost made me. I don't even play games, and this made me so mad. Just ad culture is just literally off the chain these days. Any thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah, this is an interesting choice. I'm not sure what would cause them to make a choice that they knew was going to be not well received. First of all, this isn't like a confirmed thing. Like they're not 100% doing this, and
they're looking at it. Yeah,
yeah, you know, and you know, people automatically took it as it's happening. Fuck EA, they're stupid. And I'm not sure like what they thought the response was going to be. Like it just doesn't make. I mean, look, maybe this was leaked, because obviously this didn't come from fucking EA itself. So if it was leaked and this was just something that they were thinking about, then fine. But I just don't necessarily get how they thought that this was going to be positive at all. But yeah, this is a bad idea. This is stupid. Who the fuck wants ads in the middle of a video game? Like what? Like, I will not buy your shit. So this probably won't come to pass unless EA just sells out. So we'll see.
Who knows, man? These YouTube ads are getting longer and longer. At first, it was like the 15 seconds. Like, wow, that's long for an ad. Now we get 30 seconds YouTube ads, minute YouTube ads. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I can't even relax. YouTube ads?
You're funny.
Oh, I'm sorry. You pay for YouTube?
Anyway. Duh, nigga. The heck? YouTube premium. What the fuck?
Okay. Anyway, and last bit of news here, guys. It's really just for Julian because I wanted to watch it. Iron Claw is now streaming on Max. It's a really fantastic film. So yeah, throw it into your little Planet of the Apes mixture. But anyway, guys, that wraps it up. Any lasting thoughts, Julian?
Yeah, make sure you guys like the video. Comment down below. What is your favorite Planet of the Apes movie? And make sure you subscribe to the Current Era podcast, please. I really should say this like in the beginning of the video.
Because they're definitely not here by now.
No, yeah. Like, they're literally not. Like, literally nobody's listening at this point. But, yeah. All right, Monty. Thanks, man.
Thank you.